I've never gotten over, really, the New Testament emphasis on imitating. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, Paul wrote, Corinthians 11. That's so foreign to the way I think naturally. Don't imitate me, because I know how non-followable I am. But the Bible says we're going to be followed, so we better make sure we're following Jesus Christ. So when he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, you don't imitate the man, you imitate the Christ in the man. And that's why we all need to lead by example.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we turn to chapter 5 of the book of 1 Peter. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Shepherd the Flock of God. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Today, I want to just briefly, and I'm certainly not going to be exhaustive, but I want to briefly just look at our text, 1 Peter 5. Lord, as we turn to your word, how thankful we are that we're not left at sea trying to figure out which direction to go or what to do. You've given us this book. And heaven and earth are going to pass away, but your word will not. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so as we turn to your word, give us eyes to see now, even in this context, just to hear what you say to under-shepherds. And so we look forward to even just reading it in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you've suffered for a little, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want you to notice, and I'm going to just say this because, and actually, Pastor Larry, we have a team, which we're very thankful for. And I don't usually use that language because the Bible doesn't make this huge distinction between clergy and laity. And I think we ought to try to be biblical in our distinctions. I grew up in a church where the pastor was always, you know, Pastor Scott, Pastor Larry, Pastor Justin, you know. And that's great, and so I'm saying it today just to say, you know, Pastor Larry, I think it was Friday morning when we gathered to pray, but he gave a great exhortation, a great devotional out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, And when he said turn to chapter 1, I kind of thought in terms of the latter half of the chapter. And he had the first 9-10 verses in his mind and heart. And he, I won't have you turn there, but just let me just give you verse 2, an insight that he shared that really spoke to me. You know, Paul, verse 1, called as an apostle, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. The church of God, which is in Beaverton, or Portland, or Chicago, or Pittsburgh, or wherever. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, it's God's church, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Larry just pointed out that, hey, this is written to the church at Corinth, but it's written to us too, to all who in every place call upon the name of the Lord. And that's the way this passage is today. Justin, I'm speaking to you, but you know we're all here to hear it. If you've been called into fellowship with Jesus Christ, then this is for you and me, all of us. So I just give that perspective as we look, and I want to remind us that this is Peter's, look at verse 1, I exhort, parakaleo, I exhort, I encourage, I come alongside. We talked about this just recently, this great concept of encouragement, exhortation, consolation, comfort, the Holy Spirit's very name, the noun form and the verbal form, to come alongside and exhort and encourage. So he's exhorting fellow elders, notice, under shepherds. And let me just say it, point blank. Christ is the shepherd, the shepherd. He laid his life down for us. The rest of us are sheep. Amazingly, we're called to shepherd, but we're sheep. He, the shepherd, is the lamb. Pause and let that sink in. When you think about the book of Revelation, how many times he's called the lamb who was slain for us from before the foundation of the world, God's great plan. We're his sheep. We're his flock. He is the shepherd. Peter says, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elders and witness of the sufferings of Christ. I was there. I saw him suffer. I exhort you. I encourage you. I was there. I saw it. Think about Peter's history for just a moment. Hey, Peter, why don't you cast your net on the other side of the boat? I've been fishing all night. But at your word, he casts a net on the other side of the boat, Luke 5, and this amazing catch. And he realizes who he's in the presence of. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, don't worry, from now on you're going to be catching men, not fish. That's in chapter 5 of Luke. Chapter 6, Jesus spent all night praying, and then he picked 12 of the guys. And in every list, I believe, of the 12 apostles, you always find Peter at the head and Judas Iscariot at the last of the list. But he was chosen as a sent one. And we're not talking about apostles here today. I'm just kind of reminding us of who is speaking here. He says, I was there. He walked with him through the ministry. He saw him die. He was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. His calling included some ups and some downs, didn't it? Some highs and some lows. Chapter 9 of Luke, or chapter 8, I believe it is. Yeah, it's chapter 8. When Jesus went into Jairus' home where his to raise his little daughter, he just brought Peter, James, and John. And he was there when he said, Talitha cum, and raised her up. That's a high. He was also there when they laughed at him in that scene. They were laughing at Jesus. Peter was there. Peter was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. Just Peter, James, and John. Yeah. Peter had some real privilege, some highs. He had at least two times when he made those great confessions, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Boy, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father. And when they started peeling away, the crowd, when Jesus said some hard things, remember in John 6? Jesus said, you guys want to go too? He looked at the 12. And who spoke up? Peter. To whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So he had some highs, I'll say. He had some lows too, didn't he? And sometimes they're really closely connected. Matthew 16, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And about three verses later, get behind me, Satan. Whew. How would you like the Lord of glory to call you Satan? That's what he said to Peter when he said, you know, I'm going to have to die. May it never be. This can't happen. He didn't understand everything. And he spoke. And Jesus spoke in rebuke, get behind me, Satan. In Luke 22, he said, oh, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Now, he had some lows. And you're going to deny me three times before tomorrow morning. And he did. And maybe one of the lowest verses for a believer in the Bible, Luke 22:61, he wept, Peter wept bitterly. But God wasn't done with him. And Satan's demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon. And you remember the scene at breakfast in John 21, when he said, Peter, in front of the other guys, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Simon, he said a second time, Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, three times. Obviously parallel to Peter's three denials, he let Peter affirm his love for Jesus Christ. And let me just say, the prerequisite for service of all kinds, but certainly of shepherding, is do you love me? Love of Jesus Christ. I mean, when I exhorted fathers last week, what was it top of the list, even though I didn't prioritize that? 10 things I'd share with a young dad. Love Christ. I was talking to two Spanish speakers this week, and I don't know much Spanish. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. ¿Cómo estás? Muy bien. That's about the extent of it. But years ago, I had a Spanish-speaking believer help me memorize, you know, and so I talked to these two and I said, no pierda su primer amor. And they always give me quizzical looks like, what's this gringo trying to say, you know? No pierda su primer amor. Don't leave your first love. And sometimes it opens the door to talk, and it did, to talk about what really counts in life. Don't leave your first love. Do you love me, Peter? He said. And God restored him graciously to usefulness. And he used Peter greatly. I mean, the very first Christian sermon, the day of Pentecost, he preached Christ in the very city they'd crucified him in, and 3,000 believed. And he did great miracles. He and John are coming out of the temple, or going into the temple, I can't remember. Look it up. They were going in or coming out, but the guy was begging, you know, and he said, hey, I don't have any money, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, he raised this lame man who'd been lame from his mother's womb, and the people were blown away. And let me read, because I so love Peter. He got in trouble for it. He was drugged before the Sanhedrin. And here's what he said, because he had learned in the era of the Spirit, you see a different Peter now indwelt by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And we're told specifically he was filled with the Spirit. I'm reading from Acts 4. And he said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you here in good health." Because God was using him. But he said, "What are you looking at me for? I'll tell you who did this. Jesus Christ." He opened the door officially to the gospel going into Samaria. When Philip went up there in chapter 8, when they saw that people were coming to Christ, they called for Peter. In chapter 10, he opened the door to the Gentiles. I want to listen to his exhortation here in our text. He was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And now notice what he says. Verse 2, "Shepherd the flock of God among you." A noun is also a verb. There's both forms of this word, shepherd. By the way, 18 times it shows up as a noun. And 17 of the 18, it's translated shepherd. Once it's translated pastor. But the word pastor is shepherd. That's the only time it's used. The only time in the whole Bible that you find the word pastor is in Ephesians 4. Every other time it's translated shepherd. The shepherds in Luke 2 were shepherding their flocks. Well, here it's a verb. He says shepherd, take care of, feed, protect, guide, watch over your flock. No. Your church. No. The flock of God among you. Remember whose flock it is. When Paul exhorted the elders in Acts 20, he said, "Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Wow. It's a great thing to remember. These are blood-bought sheep. Not yours, they're his. Hence, verse 3, don't lord it over them. Don't lord it over them. Don't treat pastoring like a job. There's no time clock involved. Punch it, you know, and then I'm off. It's 24/7. It's life on life. And he says, don't lord it over them, not under compulsion, verse 2. It's not like you signed a contract with some men or the board of elders or something. Oh, there's that cooperation, obviously, as we've just been mentioning, between man and God in commissioning even, and I answer to the board of elders. But, wow, it's so important to remember whose sheep they are. It's the flock of God, and you're to serve not under compulsion, but rather, notice, lead, serve, shepherd, verse 2, with eagerness. Never lose sight of the privilege of shepherding. Don't whine. And I speak to all of us, because all ministry, we should be blown away daily that he's called us to build one another up, to serve one another, to shepherd under his shepherding. Never lose sight of the huge privilege. Notice verse 3, proving to be examples. Lead, serve, shepherd by example. by example. I've never gotten over, really, the New Testament emphasis on imitating. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, Paul wrote, Corinthians 11. That's so foreign to the way I think naturally. Don't imitate me, because I know how non-followable I am. But the Bible says we're going to be followed, so we better make sure we're following Jesus Christ. So when he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, you don't imitate the man, you imitate the Christ in the man. And that's why we all need to lead, as it says here, by example. Brethren, join with me in following my example, he says in Philippians 3:17. People will. They just will. And that's why you'll see whole flocks get led astray, because the role of shepherding is so crucial. Lead with eagerness, shepherd with by example. And what should I say about verse 5? With humility. God is opposed to the proud. Let that sink in. God is opposed to the proud. Pastor, worship leader, Sunday school teacher, parent, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The Holy Spirit moved on Peter to quote this and write it down. It's from Proverbs 3, which is such a central text. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And the Holy Spirit moved not just on Peter, but on James to write the same thing. James chapter 4, I think it's verse 6. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is looking for humility. God isn't looking for greatness. God isn't impressed with what impresses man. In fact, he's opposed to what we celebrate in every realm of life, it seems. We celebrate pride in a wrong way. No, a leader in God's economy is to be humble and shepherd with dependence.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Shepherd the Flock of God, a message from the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join our outdoor summer services. Throughout the month of July, we'll be holding our morning services in the great outdoors. Come join us on our spacious lawn each of these Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. You can bring your own lawn chairs or blankets, or use one of the chairs provided at the service. We'd love to have you join us as we worship our Lord outdoors this summer. If you'd like more details, head on over to our website at swbible.org. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station. And we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
In all of ministry, manifest that dependence on him by prayer. Why? Well, we've got an enemy. Notice, your adversary, the devil, the diabolos, the diabolical one, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he might destroy, devour. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's who he is. But he's no match for the good shepherd. John 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. There's no contest. So cast your anxiety on him. Trust in him. Obey him. Walk soberly before him. Pray to him about everything, because he is the real shepherd.
Join us again next time as we continue in 1 Peter 5. Pastor Scott brings part 2 of the message titled, Shepherd the Flock of God. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.